Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
One of our dear, dear friends is coming up, and of course that is Scott Petrak from BrownZone.com, and he joins us every Monday at 11 to give us his breakdown of the Browns, and we love talking to him. And now we've got the draft to talk to him about on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Scott, how was your weekend?
It was good. A little busy. How about you guys?
Yeah, it was kind of slow. Not much.
Busy?
No, just kidding. It was fun. I just thought it was, you know what, it was so refreshing just to even have the draft. I thought ESPN did a great job considering, you know, I was reading a story today, too, about how it takes years to put together a draft, and they put it together in a month. So I give them credit. I give ESPN a lot of credit for just even having the draft this weekend. Just give me your reflections of the whole weekend beyond the Browns, beyond just the fact that we actually had live coverage of something this weekend.
I think everybody appreciated it. You know, I mean, I'm getting texts from, you know, buddies and uncles and everything. And they're always tuned in every year, probably more so this year. There's a lot of talk about the draft, a lot of conversation leading up to it. Because you're right, that's what people were looking forward to. And I think it did give – it was appointment TV, you know, kind of like the Michael Jordan Last Dance has become appointment TV. And people are looking for something to watch that's current and live. And it was, and I think people enjoyed that. I thought there were – plenty of fun, good things with the scaled-down draft. You know, there were some some tiny things I think you can complain about and say, oh, compare it to a normal draft. But overall, I think the fact that they went on with it, you know, there were questions about that. Should they do it? Is it in poor taste? And I think the NFL as a whole did a good job the way they went about handling it.
And, Scott, I don't think it'll become any kind of a common occurrence, but I thought it was a lot more interesting to see the players in their homes surrounded by families, even to see the coaches and GMs in their home, than to see the generic shot of a war room that really doesn't give you any insight, and the shot of guys putting on hats and sitting in the green room. It was just a real different look, and I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, I kind of went back and forth. Like we saw, you know, Baker stayed at home and Myles Garrett stayed at home, so you see some of that. But even in years past, it was a much bigger deal, right? The houses were full, and there were maybe even endorsement reasons why they stayed at home. And, yes, this felt a lot more genuine. I thought some of the coaches and GMs were genuine. Like, they were glad their kids were there, and you could see a good relationship. I thought some felt forced to me. Like, at some point over the weekend, I kept saying, okay, we don't need to – every shot doesn't need to be just kids in the background. You know, like, Adam Gase looked like – he had no interest in his kids being there, but somebody told him to put the kids on the couch.
That's,
you know, so I thought it was kind of a back and forth, and maybe that just lends insight into their personalities. You know, some guys are happy to have their kids around, some guys are more focused, or whatever. But there was certainly plenty to take in, and plenty to, you know. And I think you're right. I liked the players more. I thought that was kind of felt more genuine to me
yeah.
than some of the coaches, GMs.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I love the thought of the Patriots having Bill Belichick's dog making the picks. Like that shot was the best.
I know. People love that, and I get it, and I get that people love dogs, and Bill's such a interesting character, you know. But that just, I mean, that's weird, too. Like, Bill knows they're picking, and he gets up, and he walks away, and he's, you know, leaves a dog there, and he's all minimalistic. You know, there's, like, one computer on his desk, and everybody else has all these giant, you know, setups with 8 screens. It's just interesting. Part of me wondered, how much is it a setup? You know, like, they all know the cameras are there. How much is genuine? How much is kind of scripted for the camera?
So much fun. All right, let's talk about the Browns. Give me a grade on this draft, if you can, an early grade on what they were able to do, and just a big picture view of what they were able to add this weekend.
I think I'd go, and obviously it's way too early to tell for sure, but I would go B+. There was a lot I liked about it. I liked the Jedrick Wills pick. You know, Becton was my guy, the Louisville guy, just because I thought he was so much different than the rest of the tackles. But there were questions with him. And if the flag drug test was an issue and the Browns wanted to feel more safe with the first pick of this regime, I get it. And I thought Wills was the number two guy, as long as he can make the switch from right side to left side. Right? That's going to be a question. That's going to be what we focus on if we get to a training camp, if we get to a preseason. That's one of the huge things we're going to watch. But assuming he can do it like the Browns think he can, then I really like that pick. I like the Delpit pick. Not only did you address a second need, right? Left tackle and safety were arguably your two biggest needs. I think he's got big upside. I think if you look at the 2018 film, there's really a lot of reason to get excited about it. I like the tight end in the fourth round. I like the receiver, Donovan Peoples-Jones, in the sixth round. My only kind of concerns were those third-round defenders. You know, the D-tackle from Missouri, Jordan Elliott, and then the LSU linebacker, Jacob Phillips. I just wonder if, you know, there seemed to be a lot of other choices in that third round. And, you know, I hadn't heard a whole lot of buzz about those two guys heading into the draft. I think the Browns had other options. So I think the draft could hinge on how those two third-rounders turn out.
Because you want to hit on third-rounders. You know, those are high enough picks that you don't just throw those away like you might a sixth or a seventh-round pick. And I felt the same way. What do you think about the trade downs? Did they come at the right time, and did they get enough in return? Because those trade downs, you know, led to what, Elliott and Delpit.
Yeah, it's interesting. The first one I think was a solid move, right? You go from 41 to 44. You're not worried about missing out on Delpit, and even if you happen to do that, there were plenty of other safety options, right? Winfield was still on the board, Chin was still on the board, Ashton Davis was still on the board. So I think that was good. And then, you know, they get a fifth-round pick, and they wind up – I didn't love taking an interior lineman in the fifth round just because I don't think it's a need. It feels like the guy's probably only a center because he's 6'1". You just signed J.C. Treader to the extension. But I also understand it. If you think he's a third-round pick and he's still there in the fifth round, he fits with Stefanski's offense, I'm fine with it. And the fact is you had that extra pick because you made the trade down. And then the second trade down – I like it. I know there's players you had to give up on, right, for moving down. But the fact that you pick up a third rounder next year, even if New Orleans wins a Super Bowl, right, the pick is 96. I think that I really like picking that up. I think anytime you can add collateral in the upcoming draft, I think it's big. You know, now the Browns have 10 picks next year, and I just think it makes, as a GM and a scouting department, I think it makes you feel comfortable kind of all year long, is that we have all the picks, gives you something to look forward to, and knowing that you have some weaponry to move around in the draft, right? You have what you need if you want to move up in the first round. You can't do that if you're limited. So I like the position they left themselves in for 2021.
Scott, how many tight ends do you think they're going to carry?
Oh, that's a good question. Five, which is a lot, right? I mean, I think you usually see him keep three or four. You know, if we're relieving Andrew Berry, which we have no reason not to, Njoku's not going anywhere. So okay. Hooper, Njoku, Bryant, you know, and if Andrew Berry said the other day that Stefanski ran a lot of 13 personnel, which means one running back and three tight ends in Minnesota. So if you're going to run three at a time, I think you have to have at least three, maybe four active. So I wouldn't be shocked to see keep four and five, and it probably cuts away a receiver. You probably keep fewer receivers if you're only going to run a lot of two receiver sets.
Huh.
Where does this go now? You take a look at the roster, you see what's there. Is there anything that's screaming to you, boy, we need something more? And you know, maybe linebacker? As Andy pointed out earlier, a lot of young guys at linebacker right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. That was the last question of the weekend of Zoom conference calls. And I had the honor, and I asked Andrew Berry that. I said, okay, I know you address needs, but what's at the top of the board? And he wouldn't go there. And I tried again. I was like, no, just give me like one spot. And he's like, oh, we're trying to get better everywhere. I was like, all right. but me, I think it's defensive end and linebacker. They didn't take a defensive end. I thought if the right one was sitting there at 41 or wound up being 44, I thought they could take one, you know, if Epinesa or from Iowa. It felt like that was a position you might be able to kind of leave your needs, your hugest needs, to go get somebody. But it sounds like they're going to go into the season with Olivier Vernon as your starting defensive end, and that's fine. You know, and you have Adrian Claiborne now and Chad Thomas, but I think you could use another end, a young end, in linebacker, right? They took Phillips, you know, they have Mac Wilson, they have Taki Taki, they have B.J. Goodson, but I would like to see them add more to that pile. And when the undrafted guys come out, I think you're going to see at least a couple of linebackers that have a chance to make this roster.
Scott, you know, the Trent Williams story ended for the Browns on Thursday night. He ends up going to San Francisco. How close do you think it was?
I don't think it ever got close. I think it was always on the back burner, always a contingency plan. And if Isaiah Simmons had fallen to 10, then I think the Browns would have had a discussion. I'm sure they had it heading into the draft. Okay, do we take Simmons and then try to trade for Trent Williams? Or if there had been a run on tackles, then it's, okay, if we like three of them but don't love number four and don't love number five, then we trade down and then you try to trade for Trent Williams. And I think that option would have been there, right? And we saw what San Francisco wound up giving up, right, a third and a five. I think the Browns would have been comfortable giving that up. But then you have to pay him a ton of money. And then you have to worry about his health. So to me, it always made sense to draft your tackle at number 10, but I think Williams was the fallback if a couple of certain scenarios had played out in the top 9 or 10 picks.
The one thing it's in my head a little bit, Scott, and I can't decipher whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think we heard a lot during the draft that it fits the scheme.
Yeah.
Were they looking at scheme players, or were they looking for the best players? And I'm not sure if it's good or bad one way or the other.
I think scheme took priority there, Jeff. And you're right, we heard that over and over and over. And I asked Kevin Stefanski about that Saturday. I said, you know, we heard scheme fit a bunch. And he goes, well, can I say it one more time? And to me, it was a sign of being on the scouting department and the coaching staff being on the same page. Is that Stefanski and Joe Woods and Bill Callahan and Mike Pfeiffer all said, okay, here's what we're looking for. And the personnel staff said, okay, we're going to go find those guys that fit. And that's extremely important. Now, it doesn't mean you should be super locked in and rigid, and if a guy doesn't quite fit your profile, you eliminate him, right? Because then you're eliminating some big-time players. But, you know, the draft is such a big pool of guys that it makes sense to find guys that fit. And you're looking for certain traits, whether they're physical or whether they're character traits, right? And they talked about that, the tough and smart and accountable. So it certainly felt to me like Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and their staffs, were on the same page. And a lot of that was finding players they felt would fit. And I think that's important. And now the question is, do they come in and do they have enough talent to make that fit turn into a reality and make it production?
Scott, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. And, of course, we'll read you brownzone.com. What's coming up on brownzone.com, by the way?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to look at the AFC North. I thought the rest of the division, especially Baltimore and Cincinnati, had really solid drafts. You know, so how the Browns compare there. And then, you know, we'll do some features on some of these draft guys, give them a little more attention.
All right, sounds good. Scott, we always appreciate it. Talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, folks.
All right, and, of course, Scott was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.